When my friend Sean was 13 years old, he had a conversation that would change and shape the course of his life. It's actually more than one conversation. It was a number of walks that he went on with his dad. It was the summer before he went into high school. And on those long walks and talks with his dad affirmed certain things that he saw in Sean. He affirmed his deep love and affection for Sean, his oldest son. And he said things like, "Sean, you have a big heart, and I love that about you. Don't ever lose that. Sean, I see the way that you treat people with respect, and I love the young man that you're becoming. Don't ever lose that. And Sean, you set an example as a big brother to your younger siblings. You look out for them. I love that, Sean. Don't ever lose that." And of course, the content of these conversations was meaningful and important. But what made these conversations so significant was the context. See, Sean's dad was journeying with terminal illness, with stomach cancer. And the day before Sean entered into high school, he lost his dad, which meant that those conversations were some of the last things shared between a father and son. When time is limited with you and your loved ones, you kind of share what's most important, don't you? You don't talk about trivial things. You share what is deepest on your heart, what your deepest desire is for your loved ones. And this morning, we're going to listen in on a conversation that Jesus has with his friends, his disciples. And it is the night before he goes to the cross. These are some of the last words that Jesus will share. And I imagine that his disciples listened ever so intently and took his words to heart. What did Jesus say in that moment to his disciples? What does Jesus say to us? Well, let's find out. We're going to read a passage of scripture from John 14, if you have your Bibles. I invite you to turn there. It's also going to be on the screen. God's word for us today. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Jumping down to verse 25. "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Let's pray together. So, living God, would you take us back to the upper room the night before you gave your life to redeem the world on the cross? Would you put us in that room listening ever so intently to what you might share? That in the midst of our lives and our anxieties and our fears and our uncertainties, may we hear your promise, your reassurance to us in that place. Teach us about the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Well, what was it that Jesus said? What was it that he promised? Or more correctly, who was it that he promised to his disciples? The answer is the Holy Spirit. Jesus was introducing the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, to his followers. Now, let's just acknowledge for a moment, the Holy Spirit is pretty mysterious to us. God the Father, we can get our mind around that. Jesus, the Son, who died on the cross, we celebrated that last week in his resurrection. We understand that, but the Holy Spirit is mysterious to us. And so over these next few weeks here at 10th, we're in a series called The Spirit-Filled Life, where we're going to ask each week, who is the Holy Spirit, and what role does the Spirit play in our lives? And as I've looked over these passages, three things jump out to me about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to explore these. First, this passage, which Jesus teaches, tells us first that the Spirit is with us. The Spirit is God's presence living and dwelling in us. Second, the Spirit, who Jesus calls as the Spirit of truth, guides us. Jesus' friends have lost their guide, as it were, in Jesus, the Spirit guides them and it guides us. And third, we learn that the Spirit is for us. The Spirit is called our advocate. So the Spirit is with us. The Spirit guides us. And the Spirit is for us. Let's look at each of these in turn. We pick up the story. We learn that Jesus has told his disciples a couple of things. He has said in chapter 13, just before our text, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now." Jesus has told his disciples that he's leaving. And yet, a little bit later in the text, Jesus says, "Don't worry, I won't leave you." Are you confused yet? I'm sure that his disciples were scratching their heads. Jesus says, "Don't worry, I won't leave you as orphans, but I'm going away somewhere that you can't follow." But maybe more to the context here, we find some emotional context of how the disciples were feeling. Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Why does he say that? Because their hearts were troubled. Jesus says, "Do not fear." Why? Because the disciples were terrified. Remember, Jesus was their friend, their Lord, their master, their leader. These people had given up everything to follow Jesus. He was their friend, their guide. He had their back, and now he says, "I'm leaving." The disciples felt lost, alone, filled with uncertainty, maybe even feeling abandoned and vulnerable. And into this emotion, Jesus gives them a promise. He says, "Don't worry, because I am sending the Holy Spirit. I am sending another advocate," meaning that Jesus is the first advocate and the Holy Spirit is another advocate. And what we know from the Greek is that word "another" means of the same essence and quality. Jesus is saying, "You don't need to worry, because someone just like me is going to come and dwell in your midst. It's the Holy Spirit." Now, one of the things we learn early on in this passage is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. It's understandable why we think of the Holy Spirit as a force. We talk about being filled with the Spirit. And maybe we talk about receiving power when the Spirit comes. And maybe we can think of the Holy Spirit as a kind of electric energy. Or maybe we think of the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force because we've just watched too much Star Wars. You know, the unifying principle behind the Star Wars series is the Force. It's this electric energy field consisting of all living things. And we watch Star Wars and we see Obi-Wan turn to Luke and say, "May the Force be with you." And it's not that much of a stretch to imagine Jesus looking at his disciples and saying, "May the Spirit be with you." But if we treat the Holy Spirit as an it, well, in the words of Yoda, wrong we are. The Holy Spirit is the personal, indwelling presence of God. And maybe the disciples are thinking, "You know, Jesus, this is not good news. We don't want to lose you. Don't leave us, Jesus." And Jesus is saying, "No, it's actually good if I go. If I go, I'm going to send my Spirit." And maybe the disciples think, I don't really know what the Spirit is. That's okay, but we'd rather have you, Jesus. In fact, don't we sometimes think that too? Don't we think, wow, wouldn't it be great if we got to live in the time of Jesus? I mean, the Holy Spirit is good, but wow, wouldn't that be amazing to walk where Jesus walked and to be with him? But Jesus is assuring us that he is still with us by way of his Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. So when we receive the Spirit, we're not getting something less. We're getting the eternal God present with us. You know, this past winter, my son Ethan plays hockey, and his team won this pretty cool prize. It was an evening with the Canucks. They got to go to Rogers. Sorry to bring up the Canucks. I know that's very painful. There is prayer at the end of the service if you need it. They got to go to Rogers Arena. They got to watch the game and get all kinds of food before, during, after the game. But they also got a Q&A with one of the Canucks. Who would it be? Would it be Bo Horvat? Ryan Miller, one of the Sedins? Well, Ethan and his team gather. There's some other teams there in anticipation. I wasn't there, but I heard about it from him. In anticipation, who's it going to be? And in walks this young man, well-dressed in a suit, and nobody recognizes him. He has to be introduced. He is a prospect in the Canucks system, some draft pick. Can you imagine what those kids, the letdown they experienced? With all due respect to a prospect in the NHL, I'm sure he's an amazing hockey player. But you know the letdown? This was not what they were thinking. This was less than what they were thinking. And here's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit is not some prospect. The Holy Spirit is not less than. It is the eternal living presence, personal presence. If you were here on Good Friday, you saw that there was a dramatic tearing of the curtain. The presence of God, which used to live only in the Holy of Holies, now the separation is gone. The holy presence of God lives in us. Jesus is saying, do you realize what a gift this is? That no matter what, the Spirit's presence is in you and with you. Friends, when you wake up in the morning, you can wake up with the assurance that God is not somehow out there only, but God is right here, living and dwelling at the very center of your life. Wow. The Spirit is with you. Jesus is saying, it's good that I go, because I could only be in one place at one time, but the Spirit is with all of you. 24/7, 365 days a year, everywhere you are, my presence is with you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Why did he say that? What's more vulnerable than an orphan? This was how the disciples were feeling. It was a story out of I have a friend who's a pastor in California, and a story that came out of his community, the city where he lives, about Carl and Krista Feelstra. Carl was deeply moved by the earthquake, the devastating earthquake in Haiti in 2012. Loss, profound, devastating loss of life, and the tens of thousands of orphans that were left without someone to care for them. And he went on a trip there to help rebuild an orphanage. And what he experienced there so deeply moved him. I imagine that when he left and went back to California, that was a very, very difficult day to leave these orphans who he had bonded with. And when he got back home, he and his wife began to pray about this and discern God's moving in their life. They could have decided to sponsor kids in Haiti. That would have been a great thing. He could have continued to go on trips to help rebuild. He could have prayed for them. Of course, all excellent things. But they sensed that they needed to do more. So They both quit their jobs and they took their three young kids and they moved to Haiti and they lived right in the orphanage. They lived where they could care and know and love the orphans. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit who comes to live and to dwell right in the center of our lives. This is good news. The Spirit is with us. Well, Jesus goes on, knowing that the Spirit is with us. Second, Jesus assures his followers that the Spirit also guides us. Did you notice that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth? What did he mean by that? What is truth? It's a really interesting time to explore this notion of truth because every day we are bombarded by things like fake news and alternative facts. And we have to constantly sort of be alert to what we believe is true and right and what is not. The other day, I had just submitted my taxes, and I got an email from the CRA. And I scanned it quickly, and it said that you made an overpayment in previous years, and you were owed a refund. And I got excited for about 2 seconds, and as I read further, I just kind of went, I don't think this is legit. Some of the grammar was kind of pretty weak. This didn't sound like Canada Revenue Agency. It sounded like a guy in his basement in his pajamas trying to make money. We're constantly trying to discern what is true and what is not. And isn't it interesting that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth? Here's what this means. First of all, it means that truth matters. It means that truth matters. If the Holy Spirit is given the name Spirit of Truth, then it means that truth matters to God. And it should matter to us too. We know that when we live and experience the truth, it serves us well. But truth is any kind of truth claim these days is viewed with great suspicion. In fact, Time magazine just about 2 weeks ago ran this cover story, "Is Truth Dead?" Some people have given up on the idea of truth. Somebody can't give you the truth. You need to find the truth for yourself. You need to discover it for yourself, we're told. Other people say, we can't even possibly know the truth. All we're left with is different perspectives. You have your perspective, I have my perspective. In fact, even Jesus Christ one day, just a few short hours after this passage, he stood before Pilate. And he said to Pilate, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate answered famously, what is truth? Even Pilate doubted. Even Pilate mocked that there was a notion of truth. Ironically, Pilate himself was looking at truth personified. Pilate was looking at Jesus Christ, who is truth. In that Time magazine story, it talks about the importance of truth and alludes to 1953 when, against all of the known medical and scientific evidence, big tobacco companies went on a campaign to dissuade people from the truth, to essentially lie to them, to cover up what most people knew, that tobacco could be and would be harmful to people if they're exposed to it over lengths of time. Truth matters because when we believe a lie, it hurts, it devastates. Think of the human cost, the financial cost of that lie that was carried on for so long. We know that when we lie in our relationships with our spouse, our significant other, our parents, our kids, our employers, our friends, we know that it destroys relationships. It vaporizes the trust that is there. We know that truth matters, and here's what Jesus says is, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't get into a philosophical argument about truth. He says that the Spirit of truth will point you back to me. Jesus is the truth. When we know the truth will set us free. Some people think that all truth claims are just power plays, meaning that whenever somebody claims to have the truth, they're just wanting to exercise power or control over you. But if all truth claims are power plays, then so is that statement. If all truth claims are power plays, then so is that very statement. We've just explained away our explanation. What this means is that we can't get away from truth claims. We have to decide, which truth claims can we trust? Which truth claims will lead us to become more fully human? Which will cause us to flourish and to grow and to love, and which will hurt us? And Jesus is saying, when you follow me, when you follow my teaching, you are walking in the truth, and it will cause you to flourish. The Spirit of God, then, always points us back to Jesus and his teaching and his ways. The Spirit of truth always points us back to the cross. And the Spirit, in this passage we've read, reminds us of the truth of the gospel and why it is good news to us. For example, on a particularly stressful day, the Spirit reminds us. The Spirit might whisper something into us and say, "Are you weary? Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling distant from God? Come to me," says Jesus. "Come to me, all who are weary and burned out, and I will give you rest." And when we're particularly fearful, say that we go to the airport and we're scared of flying, and worse yet, we look at our ticket and it says United Airlines, and then we're really scared. The Spirit assures us in times of trial, in times of fear, "Do not fear, I am with you. I am with you always." The Spirit reminds us that we belong to God, that we're children of God. You know, over the past few years, I've had the privilege, the joy of getting to drop off my kids at school. And we have this tradition that we started many years ago. One of the last things that I say to them, you know, "Have a great day, and I love you," and, you know, they're getting out of the car and running off to school. And I say this: "Remember, you're God's child. Ethan, remember, you're God's child. Grace, remember, you're God's child." And it's become a tradition such that when I forget, they won't get out of the car sometimes. Like, "Dad, remember? Oh, yeah, remember, you're God's child." And I do this for a couple of reasons. Is I want them to know the truth and walk in this truth and be reminded of it. And so, in some ways, I want them to hear these words, and at times throughout the day when maybe things aren't going so well, the Spirit will whisper those same things to them. "Remember, you're God's child." I also tell them that in case they ever get in trouble and the teacher or principal says, "Whose child is this?" they can say, "I'm God's child. I'm God's child." The Spirit is always leading us to Jesus, to the truth of the gospel, always reminding us of the freedom that exists in Jesus Christ. You know, the Spirit of God also helps us to understand the Scriptures. I remember being an 11 or 12-year-old, and I grew up in church, and I was sitting where you were, and we didn't have kids' programs for 11 or 12-year-olds, so we sat in the sermon. And I had heard these stories before. I knew them. And I'm going to be honest with you, is sometimes the pastor would be preaching about a story, and it just was very flat to me. The preacher would go on, and I would think, when is this going to end? You ever felt that way? Don't answer that, actually. And then when I was 17, I had an experience where I had given my life, committed my life to Jesus at a younger age, but something was different when I was 17. Something in me just You know, John Wesley says his heart was strangely warmed. Something happened where I sensed that God was getting my attention. And I wanted to believe, not because my parents said I should or because people at church said I did. I wanted to own this, make this faith my own. And I got baptized, and I just had this incredible desire and hunger to read God's word. And I would sit in church, and I'd hear the same stories, but guess what? They came alive. I knew the story, but now it was God was teaching me, getting my attention. The Holy Spirit helps us as the Spirit of truth to understand the Word of God and to apply it to our lives, to make sense of it. So the Spirit is with us. The Spirit guides us. And finally, the Spirit is for us. One of the other things that I noticed in this passage is the names of the Holy Spirit. And twice in our passage, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Advocate. He says, I will send you another Advocate, Jesus Christ being the first one, the Holy Spirit being the Advocate. Now, when I dug into this and looked in some commentaries and word studies, I was really surprised at what I found. Do you know what Advocate means? Advocate, it means a lawyer. I'm not kidding. Advocate means lawyer. In fact, in many languages, those are the same words, advocate and lawyer. We make a lot of jokes about lawyers. But here's the metaphor that John is using, is the Holy Spirit is so for you, he's with you, he's guiding you, and he is for you, that he's like a defense lawyer. He's got your back. And if we make jokes about lawyers, but if you've ever been summoned to court, you know that it's no joke. You need a good lawyer. In fact, without a good lawyer, you have no chance. You need somebody who knows your case well, who knows the law well, who will advocate for you. And follow this image for just a little bit longer. He's saying the Holy Spirit is like that amazing defense lawyer. First of all, he sits with you. He's with you. He's got your back. He's paying attention to all of the court proceedings. He knows the law, the truth of the gospel, as it were. And he knows your life and your situation and your case. And he knows how to bring the two together. And the Holy Spirit is an expert in applying the truth of God's word to our lives in ways that bless us and benefit us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sometimes convicts us of our sin. Do you know what one of the jobs of a defense lawyer is? Is to be honest with you. To sometimes sit with you, and after reviewing the evidence, the defense lawyer looks at you and says, here is my best legal advice to you for your benefit. After reviewing the facts, you need to come clean. You need to confess everything. And he does not condemn us, he does not accuse us, but he convicts us. And then the Holy Spirit says, I know the judge. I want you to know that the judge loves when people come clean. The judge loves when people are honest, they don't blame others. The judge is very fair, very forgiving. Other times, our defense lawyer, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, stands up for us in the face of accusations. What accusations? Well, we're told that the enemy slings accusations at us. Our hearts sometimes condemn us. For example, have you ever heard this? Perhaps you've been in the course of your day, and you hear these accusations. You call yourself a Christian? Wow. You ever heard that one? You ever heard, wow, you have been struggling with that issue for how many years now? You're still at it? Wow. You ever heard this accusation? You know, you can't just keep going to God and asking for forgiveness. It's not that easy. You ever hear that one? You ever hear the accusation that says, and you call yourself a small group leader? And you call yourself a pastor? Wow, you go to church and If what would it be like if everyone around you knew what your week was like, what the temptations that you had, the thoughts you had, the motives you had? You're an imposter. You ever heard accusations like that? Here's the good news, friends, is the Holy Spirit has our back. The Holy Spirit, in those moments, the Spirit of truth, our advocate, stands up in the courtroom of our hearts and says, objection, objection. Your Honor, my client, all of those things that they've been accused of, those things have already been paid for by Jesus Christ at the cross. Those things are under the blood. And Your Honor, You're a fair judge, and You know that you could never receive double payment for someone's sin. Jesus has already paid it in full, which means my client is free. My client is blameless, spotless. That's the work of the Holy Spirit reminding us of the incredible truth of Jesus Christ and what He's done. Isn't that good news? The Holy Spirit has your back, always advocating for you, for your best. Now you know why Jesus could say, don't let your hearts be troubled. You might feel vulnerable, you might feel abandoned even, you might feel alone or lost, but I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit has come to you, resides in you. The Holy Spirit is with you, guiding you and for you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let's pray together. Friends, I wonder, just in the quietness of this moment, if we might acknowledge where our hearts are troubled, what anxieties, what fears we are experiencing. Take a moment just to talk to the Lord about those, to acknowledge those. And then, friends, in prayer, perhaps the one response that we have, the one application, is to just open our hearts and say, yes. Jesus, I want the gift of Your Holy Spirit in my life. I want to invite the Spirit's presence again and again and again. Holy Spirit, the eternal presence of God, come into my life again. Assure me of Your goodness. Assure me of who I am in You. Clear away those accusations against me. Set me free, Holy Spirit. If you desire a greater influence, a greater presence of the Spirit in your life, just take a moment to tell the Lord that, to ask Him for the promise of His Holy Spirit again.